You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Dude!
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Great to have you here. We have a really fun show tonight, as usual. I am Pete Schwabe, coming to you live from Marinette, Wisconsin, here in beautiful northeast Wisconsin. I wouldn't say it's beautiful now. It's a little overcast, kind of cold today. A little cold for May, in my opinion. But let's check in with our Nightlight brethren and find out what the weather is like down the coast in Radio Park in Racine, where Greg Bach joins us. Hey, buddy.
Hey, everybody. I'm just putting on my final coat of suntan lotion, getting my fine swimming shorts out because it's a balmy 52 degrees.
If I hadn't just talked to a friend of mine in Chicago who said it was 61, you might have had me. But I knew you weren't going to leapfrog.
I mean,
a little bit.
But I just think it's funny that
that's better than what we have.
Until we get a certain degree of weather, every show is going to be you saying, it's too cold.
Whoa. I make a point not to complain every night. I'm on kind of an every other pattern here, I think, to be fair to me. How are you, Greg?
I'm doing well. You know, it's Wednesday. And I know people out there in the radio world are saying, yeah, good observation. It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
But Mondays and Tuesdays just seem to be a thing. And you feel like, oh, will we ever get to closer, like Thursday, maybe a Friday? Can we get a Thursday? And then boom, we're at Wednesday and we're here now. And by the time the show is done and I'm home, it's basically Thursday, which is essentially Friday Eve. And then it's the weekend.
So what I'm hearing is Thursday morning is truly when the weekend starts.
Yeah, I mean, really in my head, that's when I check out. So
tonight is like the eve of the weekend. So we should rejoice and be happy.
This is the best version of me you're going to get. Tomorrow, I won't be thinking or listening a whole lot. And then Friday, I'm just done. Like, I might as well not even show up. It's just the two of you because that's just how I roll. It's senioritis somewhere around what? Oh, I'll be here. I just won't be here. You know what I mean? Like,
that's the same philosophy. That's the same philosophy I have on my height. You know, I'm 5'7", but I really am 6 foot if you think about it. And
you round up.
I round
up. Right?
What a
5'7" is closer to 6 feet than 5 feet.
Yeah.
What an interesting segue into a personal admission of not only shortness but lying. Dom up in Madison. My gosh.
What you're saying.
Should we trust this young man with our ones and twos?
I don't know. I was just going to ask him how his day was, but
yeah,
he seems kind of hung up on his height. Have you ever worn lifts, Dom?
I have never. No heels, no lifts, no nothing.
Okay.
No heels. I mean, you've worn shoes that give you like an inch and a half or two. Like nowadays, all these new tennies, they all have like Hokas. The Hokums. I mean, like Hokas, not Hokums. Inches. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I always wear Reeboks. Reeboks don't really add much height. It's very, very flat.
They don't
shoes.
Also add much support or style. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I had a pair of Reebok pumps back in the 90s. That was cool. Dom, how was your day? From what I understand, you had a bit of a
something.
Did you hear that, Pete? Did you hear that, Pete?
No.
Grunt. It was a grunt. He grunted.
Okay.
So how did the world fail you today?
Basically, what happened is I always get my lunch. I always make it in the morning, and I always have a chip that's associated with my lunch. This time, I went to go buy Pringles, and I got the container. Sour creams and onion sounded really good. And as soon as I opened it, everything was destroyed inside it. Everything was cracked. I mean, it was just the Pringle. There was not a single Pringle chip that was intact. I think there was one that I had over here, but everything else was just destroyed. And it just it made me really sad because I'm a hungry guy.
So to be fair, you had a lot more Pringles than you were anticipating.
I guess.
And on top of that, you got way more Pringles. On top of that, they were pre-chewed for you. Ew. So all you had to do was just open up the canister and dump it into your face and do the rest of the work.
Oh, but I don't know. It doesn't look pretty.
Sounds like a great day to me, actually, Dom. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's going on there in Madison.
I just want to point out the fact that he has a corresponding chip to his lunch. I used to know a guy who would tell me all the time, and I never asked for this information once. He goes, I don't leave the house unless my socks, underwear, and my clothes match. I'm like,
oh,
okay.
Wow.
All right. It's just, for some reason, because I just like, I have a sandwich and a corresponding chip.
That's what it is. Yep. And it's Doritos. Sometimes it's Doritos, but it changes every day. It's ever changing.
Is there a roster of chips, or are you trying something new? Like, you go to like those corner stores where you can buy chips from like Japan and from other countries where it's like, oh, this chocolate prawn.
It's all like, it's delicious. All American based chips, but it is like kind of a variety. So I have normal Pringles, but then sometimes it goes sour cream and onion. Sometimes it goes pizza. It's okay. Kind of just a variety like that. But.
That's bold.
Yeah. Pizza Pringles?
Yes, they're so
they
good.
They have those.
Yeah, they're really good.
I'll vouch for them.
I didn't know that.
That's what would qualify. My wife will say, why don't we just have sandwiches for dinner and pick up like a fun chip? A fun chip. Like, what's a fun chip? Like, you know, the chip's going to walk in like, hey, here we go. So
I got these chips. Did you hear the one about the doctor who gave the guy 6 months to live, said he couldn't pay the bill? I'll give you 6 months more.
That's a fun chip.
Yeah, there you go. That's a very fun chip. We call that Henny Chipman right there. That's a very old joke that if you don't understand it, ask your meemaw or peepaw.
I'll share. Well, now we know what Greg called his grandparents growing up. Dom, I'm sorry that happened to you. I know that there is a lot going on in the world, but that can be traumatic in a young man's life to get crushed chips. You know what you should have done is just poured them on the sandwich at that point.
Ooh,
yeah. Mix really? And match?
I don't know.
That's too far. We hit bottom here.
It's too soft. The hardness and the soft. It's too inconsistent.
Oh no, the crunch, dude. When I was a kid, on my peanut butter sandwich, I used to lay Doritos on them and eat them. It's delicious.
That's a bit weird. But okay.
No.
I've never had that. But you've never put. Okay, so last night we had the revelation that Pete's never had cheese solo. It's always with a conduit.
Not no. never, but I think it's strange.
You said never. Those are your words. You said that to the Wisconsin Cheese Queen.
I think I corrected myself. Either way, I'm against it.
But now, oh, wow. Oh, it's gone from I've never to I'm against.
Line in the sand, pal.
It's funny. It's something you've never experienced. You're against. Okay, great.
You just said that about the chips, the Doritos, on the peanut butter sandwich.
I didn't say I would never try it or I didn't like it. I just said weird.
Mr. Hegseth, reclaiming my time. Come on.
Here's the question I have. So, Dom, you've never put chips on a sandwich?
Never. Never.
Okay. All right. Pete and I, we're going to vouch for this one, too. Okay. So next time you make a sandwich, let's make a low-steak sandwich. Not steak, but just like, you know, there's not a lot of...
Just turkey. So like, turkey.
Yeah, like a turkey. Mayo. Yeah, perfect. Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
Turkey time.
A turkey sandwich loaf. With a... And you'll love the experience so much, you could call it Memento Loaf. You've always remember it.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
The G-Man is on fire tonight.
Oh, gosh. I've had water. make a turkey sandwich. Do you like to put cheese on your sandwich? Turkey sandwich?
Yeah, provolone. Big provolone.
Okay. All right, cool. Perfect. Then just throw like a plain Pringle or go Doritos. Doritos could be good, too. Try it. Just try it.
Yeah.
Or I'll take it one step further. Chop the sandwich in half. And then chop the sandwich in more, like so, in fourths. Put chips on one fourth. Try it. If you don't like it, the other 75% of the sandwich is untouched, and you're still safe.
And I might take the crust off the sandwich.
If you don't like it, I'll pay for your sandwich.
Oh, no, I would never say that.
Hey, despite what you're hearing, folks, our crazy banter here, we do have other stuff on the show tonight, and we've got great guests. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got Patrick DeHaan, who is a petroleum analyst for Gas Buddy. He will be here to talk to us about the rising cost of gas. And joining us in the second hour will be Dan Gardner. He's the CEO and founder of the app called Run-P. It's exactly what you're probably thinking. it's an app that helps you decide when you should go to the bathroom during movies so you don't miss the good stuff. The app's been around a while. We're late to the party, but we'll get to the bottom of it, and Dan will be here in hour number two. A reminder that tomorrow night, you got one night, folks, to watch Ghostbusters and refamiliarize yourself with Ghostbusters, because that's our choice for this week's Nightlight Movie Club, and we'll discuss that great movie in the second hour tomorrow night. So join us to discuss your favorite scenes, your favorite actors, lines, whatever, and tell us your overall thoughts on Ghostbusters. Be part of the fun tomorrow night at Nightlight Movie Club. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I didn't mean to cut off. I just knew we had to get to the guest, guys. But I'm with you, Greg. I like a chip on a sandwich.
Me too. I love a crunch. I love a good crunch. I think you'll like it, Dom.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I think you'll like
it. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. I think it's time to get to our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is the first thing you would do if you were to win the lottery? My man Greg Bach came up with this question, mm-hmm. and I think it's a good one. What is the second thing you would do? What are the first two things you would do when you won the mm-hmm. lottery? You got $1 billion. What are you doing, folks? Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app, or if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or the app Greg still calls Twitter, as do I, drop us a stream comment and be part of the show. That's a good one.
Thank you.
I have a feeling we will get some good responses on this one because everybody wishes they had a ton of money.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. I can't wait to read. I've got some great ones on my Facebook page. I know if the Nightlight Facebook page has been very, very popular, and so I'm very much looking forward to those.
Is it blowing up?
I don't know. I feel like I'm too old to say that.
Blowing up, I don't know.
I just don't feel hip enough. But
my wife texted something to her colleagues once, and she said, "My phone's gonna blow up." And then she comes back 5 minutes later. She goes, "Oh, you only got one blow up."
It's better than nothing. Let's take a Pringles viewpoint of that. Still better than nothing.
That's true.
Broken well chips said. Are still better than no chips.
True.
I agree.
I don't mind
a broken chip.
There you go.
Especially out of the Pringles can.
Pete, I don't know if you heard about this. I was looking at the news today. I was searching around for stuff to talk about because we like to talk about the news, catch up on the current events here. And according to the Washington Post, Iran has hit far more U.S. military assets than reported, and satellite images are showing as such. The U.S. government has not been forthcoming with everything they've been doing as far as, like, you know, they've definitely said this, the war is over. And then they've said, it's not a war. And then they said, 6 months. And then they've said, 2 weeks. And then they said, but it was over last week. And then they said, we're still in this. And then they said, please don't throw us in jail.
Crazy.
But according to the Washington Post, this article by Evan Hill, Jarrett Lay, Alex Horton, Tara Kopp, and Dan Lamont, that's a big team right there, Iranian airstrikes have damaged or destroyed at least 228 structures or pieces of equipment at U.S. military sites across the Middle East since the war began like 2 months ago. And I don't know about you guys. I'm too young to know this, but I remember hearing the stories of basically our government feeding us a line saying, well, Vietnam's going great. Like, three guys died.
Right.
Don't worry about it. You're good. Enjoy your TV and your broken chips, when really it was a disaster. And finally, it just... There you go. Finally, it just came down to the fact that, like, you know, people like Walter Cronkite and other journalists like the Washington Post said, no, they're lying to you right now. So this story is a very, very long. We're going to put it in our show notes. But basically, and this goes back to what we were talking about with Golnar Nikpor, where this idea that Iran is this prehistoric country is not true. They are weapons capable, modern, and they are really, really having their way with America as far as the bombings.
And the information we're getting has not necessarily been forthright or forthcoming with the girl school that got bombed, or service members that we didn't take responsibility for, putting them in harm's way. You don't know what to believe. It's frustrating. Mm-hmm. Hey, we are coming right back with a couple more fun stories, including our president falling asleep standing up. It's Nightlight. We're coming back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Coming to you live on the Civic Media Network, I am live from Marinette, Wisconsin. Greg is in Radio Park in Racine, and Dom Lee is producing the show from Madison tonight on an overcast night in Wisconsin. I'm just going to keep talking.
Here comes the weather report.
It helps me feel better. It's so damn cold. I took a walk before I wore a winter coat. We've got a lot of stuff coming up tonight, folks. We're going to talk about the rising cost of gas with petroleum analyst for Gas Buddy, Patrick DeHaan. Is Patrick our buddy? He's been on the show a couple
times.
He's
not just a gas buddy. Yeah. He's our buddy. Yeah. I would say he's the official gas buddy of Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach.
Yeah, I would say so, too. We've got an official dentist, which is important for any show. And now we've got a gas buddy analyst, a petroleum analyst, which I think is important. So Patrick will be coming up after the news in just a few minutes. And then we've got, in the second hour, Dan Gardner, CEO and founder of the app known as Run Pee, which tells you when to go to the bathroom during a movie so you don't miss the good stuff. So that'll be fun. Our question of the night is, what would you do if you won the lottery? What's the first thing you do, and what's the second thing you do if you won the lottery? Let us know, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the app or the stream. We'd love to hear from you and love when you guys are part of the show. And our movie club selection this week is Ghostbusters. We'll be talking about that tomorrow night in the second hour. So catch up on Ghostbusters and join us for that discussion as well. Greg, you were talking about the war before. It's kind of hard to deviate from that. It's all over the place. You don't know what to believe. There's stuff coming out all the time. I think I saw this on Reuters. No, it was Yahoo News. Cash Patel says the FBI was kept out of the Nancy Guthrie investigation for the first 4 days. Here's a weird thing. Why is this coming out now? Nobody has mentioned Nancy Guthrie. It was all over the news for a while. Mm-hmm. Now you have to dig for it on Google. It's still out there. People are concerned and feel terrible for that everything that's going on with Savannah Guthrie and her family. But why would he say that now? Does he feel bad that they haven't solved the case yet? Is it? I mean, they're the FBI. This is a kidnapping. Technically it has to go over state lines for them to take over. But everything I see on TV is, we're the FBI. We're taking this over. And he's saying we were not involved in this for 4 days. We were kept out of it by a local sheriff's department. Come on.
Well, first of all, we're far past the 4 days point, so my guess is they are involved in it. Second of all, people in Minnesota, like, you know, the AG and the assistant AG and the governor and the police were very upset when the FBI was keeping them out of investigations of the death of Alex Pretty and Renee Good. They were pretty upset about that, but Cash Patel had no real, he didn't really care about that. But here's what I would say to that. If he said, hey, they kept us out of the investigation for the first 4 days, I'd be like, yeah, of course they did. You're in charge of the FBI. Why in God's name would I give you any information about anything?
Well, and frankly, it's not, you know, I don't believe that they would put up with jurisdictional boundaries. They would just say, we're taking it over, because that's how this administration operates anyway. If they wanted to get involved, they would have been involved in those first 4 days.
But that's just it. If they wanted to, this case has nothing. Right. Like, they don't care about this. This has nothing to do with money. This has nothing to do with whatever. He's just whining and he's just mouthing off, and it's a headline, and of course we're talking about it. But still, the fact, there's no way in God's green earth would I involve Cash Patel's FBI in anything that wasn't related to hockey, drinking, or using planes without authority.
He's probably just coming off a bender.
Exactly.
So here, okay, this is another thing I saw, Greg, that I had to share with you immediately. I thought this was so funny. It was a video of Kelly Loeffler, the U.S. Small Business Administrator office. Kelly Loeffler was giving a speech. Trump was standing close to her. He was falling asleep on his feet, and there is video. And he didn't wake up until the room, she put out some lame line and everybody applauded. That woke him up. For you, do you think you could even fall asleep on your standing up?
I don't know. Well, let's try. I'm going to stand up right now. The live stream. No, I'm not going to stand, because you don't want that shot. I'm just going to say this. Can we get Dom? Can you cue up some ovation real quick? Let me see. I'm just going to. Okay, go ahead. Anytime. Whoa! What? What?
It was almost like that.
What happened?
It was almost like that. Unbelievable.
I mean, look, not for nothing here. I'm going to, you know, game recognize game. We're all tired in this day and age. Falling asleep on your feet, that's kind of killer right there. I mean, like, if I could do that, I'd take mini naps. Now, I wouldn't be the president of the United States falling asleep on my feet, but still recognize the ability to relax in such unrelaxing times.
I would maybe lean against a door frame or something before I fell asleep on my feet. Can you imagine what that would have done? Like you're asleep on your feet, you're out on your feet, and you keel over and you cause a big ruckus. Kelly's ticked off at you because her speech is interrupted, which whatever the heck she was talking about. So I don't know. I don't think it's even possible.
Was her speech having to do with, I'm a failed U.S. Senate candidate from Georgia, and I had nothing else to do after that, so the president had to give me a job because I put my butt on the line supporting him? Great. What do you think of that? Oh, he's asleep. Never mind. He's asleep. Never mind. Shh.
If that's Peepaw, the kind of stuff she was
Peepaw
saying,
Peepaw is napping right now. Don't bother him. Peepaw. Don't clap. Oh, don't clap. I'm surprised when they started clapping, he didn't wake up and immediately like launch into like a speech, like talking about I stopped 8 wars and the Nobel Peace Prize should have been mine. And
you know how I know he didn't stop 8 wars?
And transgenderism for everyone.
Because if he stopped 8 wars, he would have said 12. and here's the thing too, like Biden was old and he nodded off a couple
still
times
is.
And he still is. But he looks better now than he was president. Maybe he's sleeping more. I don't know. But he was old.
Yeah.
And Trump criticized him. Trump is old. They're just both old dudes.
They're both old.
They can't be in charge. Yeah.
Agreed. Agreed.
Ridiculous. Yes. I'm going to get a nap during this break. We are going to come back in just a few minutes, folks, with our pal Patrick DeHaan. He is a petroleum analyst for Gas Buddy. Yeah, you've got the app probably. You've probably used it. It helps you go to the cheapest service station. Do they still call them service stations? I don't know. But we'll talk to Patrick.
Oh,
when
Porter,
we come back.
Porter. Give me some gas.
Patrick's always fun, and he's been on the show before. It's going to be a blast. Don't go anywhere. This is Pete and Greg and Nightlight on the Civic Media Network. Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. Great to have you with us. I'm Pete Schwabba, sitting just upstate from Greg Bach, and Dom Lee is holding down the fort in Madison. We are the Yotter Hay Triangle, hoping to ease you into your night a little more, and it's great to have you here. Our first guest of the night, it is a pleasure to welcome this guy back. He is a petroleum analyst for Gas Buddy, and he makes talking gas prices cool. He joins us now over the stream, Mr. Patrick DeHaan. Patrick, welcome back.
No, thanks for having me.
It's great. So I'm sure you are an incredibly busy guy lately, so I'm glad you took the time out. Trying to keep tabs on the rising cost of gas, let's start here in Wisconsin, where the average says, according to NPR, it's $4 a gallon, but that was just a few days ago. I feel like it's much higher now. Is there an end in sight for rising gas prices? I mean, how high can they go, really, in Wisconsin and nationwide?
Yeah, Wisconsin, I'm looking at 441. So it has been a jolt here, up 45 cents from a week ago. There's a lot of different levers that have pushed prices up in this way. Some of them will probably stop moving and they could reverse. Other levers could reaccelerate prices. But let's start there. Refining issues have really been largely to blame for the big jump in Wisconsin and really in the broader Great Lakes. Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, and Wisconsin have all seen a big jump because of scattered refining outages. Now, this is the time of year refineries generally doing maintenance before the start of the summer. And sometimes the maintenance overlaps, it coincides, it leads to unexpected outages, just like you might take your car into the repair shop and they might say, oh, well, we found this was wrong. We need your car for an extra night. That can happen at refineries. And unfortunately, when a refinery goes down for a longer period of time, it can negatively impact gasoline supplies. So that's what we saw here in the last week, unexpected disruption amidst normal maintenance. That drove prices up very significantly. At the same time, also enhancing that jump is that President Trump had signaled that the U.S. is going to be preparing for an extended blockade of the Strait of Hormuz. Well, oil markets don't like hearing that disruption is going to continue. So oil prices jumped. All of that has pushed up gas prices by 45 cents in Wisconsin. Nationally, we're also up significantly from last week, looking at numbers 28 cents higher nationally. So a little bit of that is regional. As I mentioned, Wisconsin seeing a bigger jump because of the refining issues. The national average also jumping because of the corresponding price of oil going up.
And something we talked about last week with regard to the story that wanted us to bring you back on here was the fact that Wisconsin gets their gas from two separate sources on different parts of the country or different parts of the Midwest. Is that anything having to do with that? Is that normal for states to do that? Or is this just part of the yearly, you know, whether it's maintenance or refinery problems? It's just, is that how it is for everyone around the country?
No, I mean, you know, Wisconsin can get gasoline from a couple different sources. So, you know, the western part of the state is a little bit more insulated because it's fed indirectly. So, yeah, you know, there's kind of, if you look at a map of oil infrastructure, you'd see that the southeast portion of Wisconsin is much more heavily impacted, whereas the northwest portion can draw gasoline from another region, which is less impacted. So even within a state, there's kind of a dividing line. You know, from Green Bay down to, say, the southwest border, that the southeastern portion of the state uses gasoline from the Chicagoland area, and the northwest part of the state uses gasoline supplied by refineries closer to Minnesota and Minneapolis.
So we have summer approaching too, Patrick, so that typically gas prices go up before summer. And so now we've got the war. We've got refinery issues and all kinds of stuff going on. Are oil companies or gas stations still likely to raise prices given how much we're suffering right now? Or are they going to be sweethearts and say, well, this summer we won't add any more to the problem?
Well, you know, stations are simply passing along whatever the cost is. You know, they have very little role in determining the price. They don't want to lose money because that usually ends in a business that doesn't survive very long. But it's been very hard for them to do that right now because the wholesale price has gone up so dramatically. Stations don't all buy gasoline on the same day, and that can impact the cost. So the average station may refuel their tank every 2 to 4 days, which means if you're the guy, the unlucky guy that just paid a lot more for gasoline, your competition is not likely to fill up with that for another couple of days. So you can't really raise your prices until everyone's using that more expensive gasoline. Then you kind of look around and say, oh, everybody's starting to raise their price. Okay, I'm going to go along with it. So, you know, right now, oil companies, by the way, too, they're beneficiaries of the environment where oil prices are going up, but they're not price makers, they're price takers. And the market is sending prices up because of the conflict. There's a lot more hands in a declining number of cookie jars, you could say, because the amount of oil that would flow through the Strait of Hormuz is no longer there. So that's putting a lot of upward pressure on the supply that is available.
There's a lot of folks out there who, you know, they hear one social media post and they think they become experts in the world of oil and gas. And folks want to talk about how little we may rely upon any sort of oil from Iran, but it does. I mean, even if we got 0 or 100%, no matter what happens there, it always has an effect on everyone globally, regardless of whether you take part in their oil or not. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I was reading a book on brain surgery. I suppose by the weekend I might try my hand out. That's out of my lane. So I'll stay in my lane, which is what you're talking about. But you know, oil is a fungible commodity. That is, it can be put on a boat and shipped anywhere. And and what you know, the U.S. imports, by the way, still 4 to 5 million barrels a day. A lot of that comes from Canada, and a lot of that ends up in our neck of the woods. We also export about 5 to 6 million barrels a day. So, you know, to pretend like we could not get that oil from Canada and Mexico and we would not export, I mean, you can't really fence yourself off when something can be shipped overseas. It you know, it doesn't really matter when it can be so mobilized. What we're using can be sent somewhere else. What we're producing can be sent somewhere else. And that's why it's impossible for us to just pretend like the world doesn't exist, is because oil companies, just like if you put your house in the market, you're not going to accept the lowest offer in your house, right? That would be wild. Oil companies are essentially doing the same thing. Customers in Europe are desperate for oil because a lot of their oil's gotten blocked by the Strait. So European refineries are saying, we'll give you more. And U.S. oil companies are saying, okay, we'll send to you, because that means we'll have more money to drill for more. We can raise production. We can do more things. We can raise investments. And that's why you and I are paying more, is because we can't fence ourselves off. What we consume can end up overseas.
Our guest is Patrick DeHaan. He is a gas analyst for Gas Buddy, a petroleum analyst for Gas Buddy. He joins us here on Nightlight again to discuss the rising costs of gas. Patrick, aside from our own personal purchasing of gas for our vehicles, you know, we've got airlines, delivery trucks. What are some other, something we might not realize right now, but how might these gas prices affect us in ways we don't quite see yet in the coming months if this continues?
Well, I mean, look at my backdrop for a moment. Everything that's sitting behind me has gotten to where it needs to be via delivery trucks, via diesel. It's produced with oil. I mean, the shelving over here I have was at a retail store. It got to that store with diesel. It was shipped overseas with diesel or marine or bunker oil. So everything that you have around you got to where it needs to go with some form of oil, whether diesel fuel, whether jet fuel, whether gasoline in those Amazon delivery trucks. It may be derived of oil. I mean, look at everything behind me again, plastics everywhere. So all of that is made out of oil, and then it uses oil to get to where it needs to go. So, you know, you go to the grocery store, all your groceries are on the shelves because diesel-powered delivery trucks. When you go to the home improvement store, it's spring when you buy that mulch in your home improvement store. All of that is very dense, bulky. It's all moving via diesel fuel. You know, a lot of the components going into coloring that mulch can be related to fossil fuels. So it's everywhere. It's inescapable. When you go to the restaurant to eat your dinner, if you go out, if you're lucky enough to do that nowadays, all of that food is delivered twice a week. My dad used to be in the restaurant industry. He'd get food service deliveries twice a week with diesel. So it's up and down the supply chain. You can't underscore, I mean, maybe not so much jet fuel, but that's a whole nother headache. Your iPhone got to your hand, your smartphone got to your hand via jet fuel when it came from overseas.
And so we're looking at, like, right now where we're at beginning of May, and all the things you discussed earlier as far as, you know, domestically, as far as refining problems, changing blends, cleaning, all those things. In the next few, let's say the next 4 to 6 weeks, will we see a possible drop in prices from those things being done, completed, fixed, or whatever? Or are we looking at, you know, I know I'm not asking you to be a genie looking at in the future, but, you know, for the things that are very quantifiable, will we see drops in prices once there's a little more flow to what's happening, at least here in the United States with our oil?
Might need to rub the lamp to get an answer on that. but no, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Gas prices will see a little bit of relief. As I mentioned, those refining issues have pushed up prices in a significant way. Those we will see improvement on. The bigger question is, will there be offsetting factors or aggravating factors that push prices up at the same time? I think it's very simple. A lot of Americans probably believe it's one factor driving oil at a time, right? But there's not. There's all these different levers, and they're all balancing in different ways. So if refinery relief, which is starting, by the way, Wisconsin here in the days ahead should tiptoe a little lower, the worry is, will Iran decide to attack somebody else in the Middle East? Will the U.S. attack Iran? Will that aggravate oil prices? At the same time, we're getting relief in one area, we may be getting more pain in another area. And all of that can offset and interact with itself. So we should see some relief here in the days ahead. But if something drastic happens in the Strait of Hormuz or in the Middle East, part of that relief may be offset by a potential rise in oil.
It seems like with, you know, there's no end in sight for the war or peripheral turmoil in the Middle East anytime soon, it would appear. What is, I mean, again, I'm not asking you to predict the future, but how high can prices go at the pump where people go, forget it, you know, I'm not going to drive anywhere?
The magical demand destruction. Well, what I might say might be five, you might say 550, and what, you know, couple other folks might say six. So it varies depending on, you know, your means, very contingent on how much money you make, how much you can spend. Generally speaking, I would say that the pressure would really ramp up when Americans hit $5.50 or $6.
As a national average?
Yes, as a national average. For California, that could mean, you know, $7 or $8. Mm-hmm. And for areas of Mississippi or, you know, Alabama, that could mean $5. So it varies by state. And for Wisconsin, that could mean $6.
I know I've got a flamethrower I like to break out every once in a while. I'm going to have to keep that on the shelf all summer long, it sounds like.
if you've got fuel in it, you might want to put that fuel in your gas tank.
Oh, no, I have a battery-operated green. Siphoning. That's my all my flamethrowers are environmentally safe, so it's fine.
Whenever I set someone on fire, it's with the environment in mind. Patrick, this is great stuff. Thank you for taking the time out. Thank you for the work you do at Gas Buddy. Anything else you can leave with? A helpful hint, if you will, something.
Watch the Strait of Hormuz. That is going to hold all the details on how high gas prices go this summer or if we see any relief.
That's a great advice, Greg. I've made notes.
I'm going to write that down
with you after the show. Patrick DeHaan from Gas Buddy, thank you so much. Keep us posted, and we will continue reading your articles and watching you in the media doing the great work that you do. Thank you so much.
At least somebody reads the articles. Thanks for having me. Well, we
did. Yeah, I need to see how broke I'm going. So, even though it's bad news, it's very well reported. So thank you very much for that, and we hope to talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
You bet.
We are coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. That's right, kids. Get ready. Right around the corner, summer break. Hey, I'm Pete Schwabe, joined by Greg Bach and Dom Lee, running the board in Madison. I'm coming to you live from Northeast Wisconsin. Greg is in Southeast Wisconsin, and we are so glad you're here tonight. We have a great question tonight. What would you do? What's the first thing you'd do if you won the lottery? And there's a subset. What is the second thing you do if you won the lottery? So have fun with that one and let us know. We'll read your text in just a few moments. But a reminder, tomorrow night is Nightlight Movie Club in hour number two. And this week's movie is Ghostbusters, brought to you by our senior producer, Tucker Ligursky, who picked that movie. And it'll be fun to discuss. Great lines from the movie, great scenes, mm-hmm. and it spawned a franchise as well. So be part of that as well. We hope you guys will join us for Nightlight Movie Club tomorrow night. What did you think? That was fun talking to...
I
wouldn't say it was fun, but it was informative.
Yeah, Patrick is very, very... He makes that topic very digestible. He gets right into it. He's... And I will say this, too. Is like, I was talking for the past week, like, you know, I know the Strait of Hormuz is a big deal, but there's other things happening around the country that are creating higher gas prices. And I just liked... He was like, yeah, the Strait of Hormuz is the big deal. We need to be watching that. I'm like, all right, the expert has spoken. Right. I know nothing.
Are you sure, Patrick? So anyway, hey guys, it's a Teachers Appreciation Week. My wife is a teacher. She's worked very hard for 30 plus years. She's worked in Chicago private schools as an elementary teacher, the LA Unified when we were in Los Angeles, and now she works for the Marinette School District. And I just want to give a shout out to her and all teachers because, you know, somehow for a while there, it seemed like politically teachers were the problem. You know, and it's like, what? Like, it used to be like one of those professions, like nurses, where it's like, well, those are very kind-hearted people that go into those jobs. And my wife is one of them. And just to give you an example, we were at a New Year's Eve party 3 years ago, or a couple of years ago. And one of our neighbors ended up being in her class. So we're all partying and having a great time. And the neighbors are there, and their son, Cooper, is sitting on my wife's lap, and she's reading him a book. At a New Year's Eve party. It is truly in her and many teachers' DNA what they do. They are just, it's what they are. They teach, and I just want to give a shout out. I think it's great. I will share this. When we first started dating, she was correcting papers one night, and she asked me if I would help her. I said, sure. And after I corrected the paper, I corrected like 20 papers, and I wrote, see me, after the score. And just a little prank, and she had all these kids coming up to her the next day. Do I have to see you? Do I have to see you?
She's and like, she gave you a third date?
She gave me a D+.
Wow.
So
wow.
I thought that was charitable. Anyway, shout out to teachers.
I think there's no better way of saying it than a calling. It's a calling. Mm-hmm. When you
well said.
When you get into a profession that in this country, I should say, that pays pretty poorly, undervalued pay. Yep. And you have you teach in a country where you have leaders who are trying to constantly not only defund you but undermine the work you do. And right. then refer to you, and I'll never forget this too. This is when Act 10 and 32 happened, referring to teachers as moochers and takers. To me, they're owed, like, this country, you know, when every teacher who retires, they should just get a check from the government of a lot of money to say, yeah, sorry about all of that. We're really, sorry about the way we treated you because.
Yeah.
And I feel like the same thing happens to nurses too now. Like after the pandemic, we were all like, the nurses are the greatest people on earth, clanging the pots for the nurses. And then that all went away and we were like, the nurses were like, can we get more help? Can we get like more money? Mm-hmm. Can we get more resources? Like, no. And shut up and do your right. job. It's just so despicable. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, I for a half a moment considered being a teacher and then I reconsidered and said, I can't do this job. I know a lot of friends who are teachers and I know a lot of friends who have quit the profession because this country does not appreciate them. And it's sad and it makes me very angry when I think about it.
And it's interesting when they go into this profession, and I hear this from people who, when the Act 10 stuff was going, they get summers off, they're done at 3 o'clock. No, they're not. And guess what? They go into a profession knowing they're never going to be rich. Those salaries are capped pretty much. And you have to work 20 years to get to the cap. It's ridiculous. They go into that knowing they're not going to make a lot of money, which to me is even more admirable. But then to have benefits cut, like teachers used to have good benefits. That was the rub. Oh, we don't make a lot of money, but we get good health care or a good pension. Mm-hmm. That's gone. That is gone now. They are working only for the salary and their health benefits are no better than anybody else's. So that's
and part idea. Of that salary is being put towards buying their own supplies too. That blew my mind when a teacher told me that. Dom, what do you, I mean, we're two guys sitting here talking. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I have a friend who is just graduating from Illinois State. He's going into elementary education, and it is a very difficult profession. It is just in general. He said he has to do lesson plans every single day, 5 days a week, and it takes about 5 to 6 hours. 5 to 6 hours just to do lesson plans, just to put PowerPoints up. It takes a lot of work. And he even says, yeah, I don't recommend people going into this. And
yeah,
that's a high burnout rate. Very well said. And to your point about lesson plans, my wife will feel like just garbage some days. And I'll say, take a sick day. And she's like, it's more effort to go there and get ready for a sub than to take a sick day. She'd rather just go because she runs her class well and they're not unruly or anything. But I'm like, that is insanity. So you have sick days to use and you don't use them because, I mean, it's whatever. But yeah, tip of my hat to all the teachers out there.
And I'll say this, we are in election year. We've got a lot of seats up for grabs in Wisconsin, in Madison, or in the state house in Madison. And I think if this is something that's near and dear to your heart, people who are knocking on your door for the job, ask them what they think about education and teachers, education funding, see what they think of things like voucher programs and things of that nature. And that's how you find out who represents you truly. And I think appreciating the teacher should be more than just what we're doing. I mean, this is fine, but it needs to come at a greater thing, like making it worth their while and making them feel appreciated both in their pocketbook and their hearts. So, yeah.
Very well said. All right. We are going to come back and read your text, folks, after the news. Our question is, be part of the fun, ladies and gentlemen. What is the first thing you would do if you won the lottery? What is the second thing you would do? Let us know. We're reading your text next, and then we're going to talk about the Run P app at 6:20. It's going to be a blast. Don't go anywhere. This is Nightlight with Pete and Greg on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.